In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Christ is among us.
Today, on September 26th, the Church is celebrating Holy Apostle St. John the Theologian. And it's a Sunday, but in the Eastern tradition, because of the importance of the evangelist, even if their feast day falls on a Sunday, we commemorate them. So if Matthew falls on a Sunday, we'll be commemorating him also on the Lord's Day. Luke and Mark, or as today with John, who has a special title, the Theologian. In a homily to honor St. John, our father, St. Gregory of Palamas, who lived in the 1400s, St. Gregory of Palamas is the what St. Thomas Aquinas is for the Western Church living in the 1200s. St. Gregory of Palamas living in the 1400s is for us a profound theologian, a profound father who has really impacted tremendously our theology. And he writes these words about St. John, but he does it in a parallel between Christ and John the Beloved Apostle. He says, Christ was the beloved son. John was the beloved disciple. Christ was from the bosom of the Father. He was in the bosom of the Father. John laid his head against the chest, the heart of Christ. Jesus of Nazareth was born, was a virgin in his life, and by the grace of God, John remained a virgin throughout his entire life. Christ was born of the virgin. He's the son of the virgin, and yet as we hear today's gospel passage, John becomes a son of his own mother. The Lord thundered from the heavens. John, along with his brother James, is nicknamed Thunder. And he gave a theological thunder, says St. Gregory of Palamas. And that theological thunder resounds throughout the entire world, declaring a divine truth. And that divine truth is found in the very first lines of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in this Word was life and light, and that light enlightens all, by whom he made all things. So writes St. Gregory of Palamas about this beloved disciple, about St. John, the theologian. St. John, yes, he was one of the apostles. He was a disciple, a very close disciple of the Lord. When we use the word disciple in modern times, we don't quite really capture how the ancients, not only Jewish people, but in the ancient world, the relationship between a master and a student. There was an expression to explain or try to depict the relationship between the master and the student. And it was this: a student, a disciple, would walk so closely behind their master in order to even breathe in the dust from which came as they kicked it up walking. That was the intimate relationship. That's how much they wanted everything of their master, or in this case, of their rabbi. And of course, we know Jesus of Nazareth was more than a rabbi. But that's how close John was to our Lord. John, the beloved, he was one of the three apostles chosen to experience the transfiguration on Mount Tabor. He was one of the three chosen to be closest to our Lord at the Garden of Gethsemane. St. John was the one closest to our Lord at the Last Supper, so that as the reclining, John was able to lay his head against the very heart of Christ. What an image. St. John, the only apostle that was standing there at the foot of the cross. And on that, and at that moment, as we heard in today's gospel, the Lord entrusted his own mother to John, and he entrusted John in a unique way to his own mother. All of these, and we can say so much more about John, whether it's in the Gospels themselves, in the Acts of the Apostles, or the book of Revelation, or his letters. There's so much more we can say about John, but the key is this. Through this personal encounter with the God-man Jesus the Christ, what happens to John? He experiences metanoia. A metanoia happens in his heart. A metanoia happens in his mind. A metanoia happens in his sight. And out of that metanoia, out of that conversion of his total being, what happens? He's able to write a gospel, three letters, and the book of Revelation, all of which make up part of the New Testament, all of which make up part of the divinely inspired Word of God. This is a man, when you read these four works of his, this is a man who was radically transformed. So that when he's before the Sanhedrin with Peter and the Acts of the Apostles, long after our Lord's ascended into heaven, what do Peter and John tell to the Sanhedrin? When the Sanhedrin, the authorities, tell them to be silent about this Jesus, these two apostles say, quote, "We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." End of quote. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. This is a man that was so changed, nothing could stop him from proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ is God. So what do we learn from St. John? Well, when the church gives us saints, it's never meant to imitate them in all the particulars of their life. No. There's some fundamental truths that we're supposed to take from the lives of these saints. And so what do we take from the life of St. John? First of all, as we see in the life of St. John, no one who's going to follow Christ can be a mere hearer of the word. No, St. John's very clear in his own life, and when you read all of his life, all of his writings, what is paramount for St. John is this. If you have been baptized, you are baptized into Christ. You have become divinized. You have been transformed from within. And that means is to be reflected in your daily actions. So we are not mere hearers of the word. That goes back to those words that St. John says. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. A man is ready to give his own life. Because now he is in Christ. He is a man totally transformed from within. And how was that made possible for John? But if you read his writings, it's clearly stated. It's because he had a living, personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. John the Apostle did not know about Jesus. He knew Jesus. Jesus was deeply familiar to him, deeply personal to him. At the root, there was love. We know about people, and when you know about people, all you have are facts and data. That does not mean you love the person. When you become familiar with somebody, when you develop a personal relationship with somebody, then it becomes love. And love gives you insights into another person that you can't have by just knowing about someone. John took to heart the Lord's teaching, quote, "Greater love greater love has no man than this, to lay down your life for your friends. And our Lord said to the apostles, no longer do I call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because all that the Father has given to me and shown to me, I have given and shown to you. End of quote. The Son is able to reveal to us his Father because the Son is deeply united to his Father in love. And now our Lord is telling all those who want to follow him, this is the relationship that we are to have. You're not my servants. You're not my slaves. You're not simple disciples. You are my friends. And if you are my friends, there's a relationship of love. So at the heart of St. John's writings, all of them, whether it's the Gospels, whether it's the epistles, the three epistles, or it's the book of Revelation, if you read them, you will find over and over and over a particular word. In Greek, it's agape. In English, we can't use one word, love. No, we have to qualify, because agape is a very specific type of word, love. It's the selfless love. It's the self-forgetting love. It's sacrificial love. And that's the only way that we really know God. Because that's how he's revealed himself to us. And that was in today's epistle, which is the first epistle from St. John. A profound epistle. Go back and read it. It's not a long letter. But what does St. John say? Quote, God is agape. Not philia love. Not eros love. No, he's agape love. He's self-forgetting, self-sacrificing love. He says, God is selfless love, and he who abides in selfless love abides in God, and God in him. End of quote. St. John, he gives us no discourse on love. He gives us no treatise on what love is. He gives us no argument on what love is. The philosophers do that. This is not theory. This is not speculation. And this is not some abstraction. St. John gives us a very concrete, practical, personal definition of love. And it's based on his experience. God is love. So we have to look at what God is, and that tells us what love is. God is the source of selfless love, which makes agape, selfless love, not just an attribute of God, not just an attribute, something about God. Like he's good, he's kind, he's merciful. No, 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 no. St. John is telling us something much more profound. God, in his essence, in his very being, in who he is selfless love. It's sacrificial love. It's self-forgetting love. And how does God show that to us? By sending into human history his own beloved Son, his perfect image. And we can even call him, as the church fathers called Jesus, the icon of the Father. And so in our own flesh and blood, God comes among us and he's able to show us who he is in his Son. And what did his Son do? God so loved agape, so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That's the meaning of love. Forevermore, God memorialized his selfless love for humanity in the person Jesus the Christ. And how does God love us? We can see in the person Jesus the Christ, he loved us until the end.
until there was nothing left to give. And he even said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He gave without expecting anything in return. He gave regardless of whether his gift was going to be accepted or not. That's selfless love. That's self-forgetting love. That's sacrificial love. Ours, before that very wonder, is to pause and to contemplate the excess. But in true love, there really is never excess. It just gives and gives and gives. Ours then is what kind of response? It's only one. St. John tells us to love as God loves. To love as God loves. To give until there's nothing left to give. To God, to yourself, and to your neighbor. Love selflessly one another as I have loved you. The Old Testament was to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And the standard in the Old Testament of loving your neighbor was the way you loved yourself. The new commandment is what? To love as God has loved you. That's the unique teaching of the Christian faith. You will find it not in Islam. You will not find it in Judaism. You will not find it in Hinduism. You will not find it in Buddhism. You will not find it in any other religion in the entire world. And you will find it in no philosophy. This is the unique Christian faith and the unique teaching given to us by Almighty God that we Christians bring into the world. To love as God has loved you and me. Tradition recounts that at the end of his life, St. John had only one homily to give. Quote, little children, love one another selflessly. And after many times of saying this, finally his disciples responded, why do you keep repeating to us, Master, the same teaching? And he responded, it's the Lord's commandment. Keep it, and nothing more is needed.